Great singing today. I just want to say I forgot to introduce Carter Finley. He was the first one to sing, and I appreciated that. Appreciated everybody who recited or played a musical piece, and also for the expanded orchestra we had here today. Appreciate all of you. I think Bill played the troops this week to get as many as we could in the orchestra, and that was great. What I'd like to do at this time is just invite all the children who are let's say grades 6 and lower, just to come up here to the front for a little bit. Just come right on up. You don't have anything to worry about. We're just going to sit down and talk a little bit. If you're 6th grade and under, come right on up. We're just going to have a little chat about Christmas. Oh, no, you don't have to if you don't want to. I'll grab a chair here for you. Everybody take a chair, or you can sit along here, wherever you'd like to sit. We'll get chairs out for you. I don't want anyone behind that sign, though, okay? So let's go ahead and grab a chair if you didn't get one. Bring them all right up on. That's a good man. Rescue your sister. All right. Do we have enough chairs? Okay, let me help you get some more. We've got a few over here we can get. Let's just put this right down on the... Do we have enough? There's one more over there, okay? Everybody get a chair? Let me have a seat here, right over here with you guys too, okay? Okay. All right. How many of you guys got up early today? Raise your hand. How many of you woke your parents up early today? All right. I want to talk with you a little bit about Christmas. Got a microphone here. Maybe some of you guys could tell me what's something you like about Christmas. Anyone want to? Is that right? Me too. Anyone else have something they like about Christmas? Okay.
Spending time with family.
All right. That's great, isn't it? All right, Ellie?
Presents.
Presents. All right. Yeah. Okay. Isaac?
The real meaning of Christmas, when Jesus came down as a baby to grow up.
Amen.
And die on the cross to save our sins.
That's right, yeah. He came for that reason, didn't he? Very good. Abby.
The Christmas tree.
Yeah, beautiful, aren't they? Anyone else, something you like? Callie?
Having my cousins over for Christmas.
Having your cousins over, that's fun. Anyone else? Yeah, one more thing?
Die.
Okay. Can you translate that? Do you know what she said there?
Well, sometimes doughy dot means like candy dots.
Oh, yeah, me too. Me candy. That's good stuff. Well, how many of you guys like Christmas carols?
Yes.
Yeah? Me too. I wanted to talk to you guys about a Christmas carol today called A Little Town of Bethlehem. Do you guys like that one? A Little Town of Bethlehem. So we're just going to talk about that carol a little bit, and then we're going to sing it all together, okay? Not just us two, but everybody. So we have some slides. I don't know. Might be hard for some of you guys to see it, but I want to tell you a little bit first about the person who wrote A Little Town of Bethlehem. And even if we don't have the slide, that's okay. I can tell you about him. His name was Phillips. Oh, you see him up there? Looks like a kind gentleman, right? His name's Phillips with an S. Don't forget the S. A little different, right? Phillips Brooks. And that's his picture up there. And he wrote this song way back in 1868. Okay, so that's over 150 years ago, older than anybody I think out here, right? A long time ago, he wrote O Little Town of Bethlehem. He wrote it after he visited the town of Bethlehem. Where do you think the town of Bethlehem is? Do you know, Isaac? Yep, over kind of Asia, Africa, Europe, right? What country? Where?
Jerusalem.
Yeah, it's by Jerusalem. Do you know what country, Tim?
In Judea.
In Judea? What do we call the country today?
Israel.
Israel, yeah. Do you know you can visit Bethlehem today? Mr. Brooks there, he was a minister from Boston. And my niece is from Boston. She's here today. But he was in Boston, and he traveled over to Israel, and he actually got on a horse and rode horseback into the town of Bethlehem. But it's a real place. You can visit it there today if you wanted. Look at that. You can go from 6990 East Price Road. Where do you think that is? Right here. And you can go all the way over. And you were right, it's kind of in the Middle East, Europe, kind of that area. It's in a country called Israel, and there's a town there called Bethlehem. You could get on a plane and travel by car. You could go over the Atlantic Ocean and fly over Africa, and you could land there in Israel and then go to Bethlehem. Google Maps says it'll set you back about $1,700, so you just have to save your pennies. But you could visit. It's a real town. Okay, so Bethlehem, it's a real place. It's not just like a fictional story. It's a true place that we can visit. I'll show you what it looks like today. See? Maybe not so little as it was, but that's it, the town of Bethlehem. Here's maybe what it looked like back in the time that Jesus was born in that city. Okay? Now, this place is the place where Ruth lived. You know the book of Ruth? Yeah? Okay, she lived in Bethlehem, and she had a great-grandson that's pretty famous. He was a king. He was also a shepherd. Anybody think they know?
David,
that's right. So he was born in Bethlehem, and actually, the city's named after David, the city of David, they also called Bethlehem. Who else was born in Bethlehem? He was a pretty famous person, Daniel. Yeah, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Jesus, the good shepherd, right? The good shepherd and also the King of Kings. So a few years after his trip to Bethlehem, Mr. Brooks was remembering all the things he saw there, right? And he was just missing his time that he spent there because he really enjoyed his time there in Bethlehem. He decided, I'm going to write down a song for the kids in my Sunday school, kind of like your age. And he wrote it down, and he told his song director, a guy named Mr. Redner, and he's like, can you put music to this song? And Mr. Redner said, okay, I'll do that. But you know what? Days passed, and finally it was Christmas Eve, and he still didn't have music. And they were going to sing it in Sunday school the next day, on Christmas Day. And he went to bed, and he woke up in the night. Have you ever had something where you were just, your mind was blocked, but then all of a sudden you had a great thought? Well, that's what happened to him. And he wrote down the music quickly on a sheet of paper. He just wrote down the melody of the song. And then when he woke up in the morning, Christmas morning, he wrote the harmony for it, and they sang it in church that morning. They sang O Little Town of Bethlehem that morning. And they didn't know that we would still be singing it 150 years later. They didn't know that millions and millions of people would sing it. They just thought this would be a nice song for Sunday school on Christmas Day, 1868. And so they did that. And even today, you can hear it in the stores. You can hear it in the malls being played, right? O Little Town of Bethlehem. And the really neat thing about that is, though, just think, that song, it has some pretty important words. And if people stop to think about those words, they would know what Christmas is really all about. And so I just wanted to talk a little bit about the words of that song with you guys today. Let's look at the first verse. It says, O little town of Bethlehem, How still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. It's talking about Bethlehem at night. The dark was over the city. It was nighttime. There were stars in the sky. I think that Mr. Brooks, as he was traveling through Bethlehem, he could see, he even said, as I was riding on horseback, I saw shepherds in the field, just like the night Jesus was born. And as he wrote this, he was thinking of that night. People were sleeping, but not everybody in the city was sleeping. Who do you suppose was awake at night in Bethlehem years and years ago?
Mary and Joseph.
Yeah, exactly. Mary and Joseph. Remember, Mary was a lady. She was about to have a baby. And she and Joseph had traveled to Bethlehem. They'd traveled from their city of Nazareth, almost 90 miles. Why did they have to go to Bethlehem when she was about to have a baby? Why did they have to go?
Because there was a tax.
Yeah, there was a census. They had to count people, and you had to go to Bethlehem to register so that they could make sure you paid your taxes. You'll find all about that when you get older. But they had to go do that. And when they got to the city, they're tired, you know. It's late. They couldn't find a place to stay, the Bible says. Sometimes we say that the innkeeper said no room, but it just says that there was no room. And so where did they go? Where did they have to go?
Yeah. A stable?
Yeah, they found a place where the Bible says there's a manger there. And a manger is something like what's behind you there, just something that actually animals would eat out of. And we don't know exactly what it looked like. Maybe it was wood. Maybe it was stone. Maybe it was kind of like a cave that they were in. But it wasn't their first choice, no matter what it looked like. We don't know what it looked like, or we don't actually even know how long they'd been in that place before the baby was born. But this we know, it wasn't the best ideal place if you're going to have a baby. And it was night. The stars are out. They're in this little town called Bethlehem. And even though it was little, that doesn't mean it wasn't important. Look at what a prophet had said hundreds and hundreds of years before this baby was born. Look at what he said. But you, Bethlehem, Ephratah, talking about that city, that town, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one who to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting. Well, that's pretty impressive right there. What that's saying is that someone very important, someone's going to be born in that little town of Bethlehem. And this person, you told me who it was, the baby Jesus, right? That baby that Mary was carrying was the Son of God. The Son of God. And he was about to be born in human flesh. He had always been alive as God in heaven. But for the first time, he was going to have human flesh like you and I. Like if you pinch yourself, you feel that, he was going to have that for the first time. He would be God. He'd always been. Look, he's from everlasting. He never had a beginning. He's always been. But for the first time, he's going to have human flesh. Why do you think that Jesus would leave heaven and want to have human flesh like we have? Anybody who hasn't answered yet like to say something? Anybody? Okay, if you have answered, you raise your hand. Okay. Let's have you say. Why would Jesus take human flesh?
Because that he would feel how the humans feel.
Yeah. Yeah, why else? Why else?
Because he loves us.
He loves us.
Because he wanted to die for us so we could be saved too.
Yeah, all those answers were great. You know, for someone to die as a sacrifice for a human, they had to be a human. And he did that. He loved us. He wanted to feel what we feel, the pains that we go through, what life is like. Can you imagine never having a body, but all of a sudden being confined to a body where now you have hands and you have to look out your eyes. And he never had that before. He was everywhere present, and He was God, but now he confined himself to a human body where people could whip him, people could spit on him, people could treat him bad. He did that, and he did that all out of love for us. That happened there on that silent night where the stars were above. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. What do you think that light is talking about right there when it says there was a light shining in the darkness? Yeah.
The light to show where Jesus was?
Yeah, well, there was a star that led men from the east, but...
Like Jesus shining by himself in the darkness where all the sins are?
Yeah, yep. That's what I thought, too. Did you have something to say there, Isaac?
Well, so in one Bible thing that I have, so it says, like, well, it wasn't a Bible, but it was, like, the Christmas story.
Yeah.
In different little things. And it was, so, it said that the bright light, so it meant that it was time for Jesus to be born.
Yeah, it's talking about, well, let's just see what Jesus said about that. Look, he said, Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Jesus was going to bring light into a very dark place. He was going to bring joy into a very sad place and hope into a place where people didn't have a lot of hope. And this light that he was is because he was perfect, right? He never did any sin. He lived a perfect life. That's something that none of us could do. And because of that, he was like a light. People said, there's something different about him because he doesn't sin. And so he was a light in a very dark place. And he came just like that. He had made the world, and now here he was, a helpless baby. But he humbled himself like that because we needed him, because it was dark here. We have sin, and we needed somebody to show us the light of truth. And he did that. Now let's look at some of the other words. The last part of the song says this, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. When it says are met in thee, who do you think that's talking about right there? Who is that? You can say it out loud. Jesus, right? Yeah, the hopes and the fears. Hey, raise your hand, guys, if you've ever been afraid of something. Have you? I know I can raise my hand. We all have fears. Maybe you can name something that you've been afraid of. Can you? Does anyone have something that?
The dark.
The dark. Yeah.
Spiders.
Spiders. Yeah. Yikes! They have big ones in Brazil.
Death.
Death. Yeah.
Tornadoes, fires, earthquakes.
Yeah, all of the above. Natural disasters.
Scary noises at night.
Wars, yeah. Anybody else, something? We all have things we're afraid of. If I pass the microphone around here, all the people out there, they'd have something that they said they've been afraid of. You know, sometimes adults have fears about money. You know, am I going to be able to pay my bills? And is my business going to succeed? We have all different kinds of fear. I remember one time I was really afraid. I was in Brazil, and I didn't speak the language well yet. And my daughter Ellie got really sick. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where to go. I didn't know how to explain to people. I think that's one of the times I was most afraid in all my life. You know, we all have fears. Put that back up on there. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Can you guys imagine a world where there's nothing to be afraid of? Can you imagine a world like that? Where there's no war, where there's no tornadoes or sickness or spiders to scare you. I think we're afraid of spiders because we think they can hurt us. Or a place where there's no death. Nobody dies. Can you imagine a world like that? Did you have something to say? You held a tarantula? Whoa, you're brave.
Mm-hmm.
Yikes, Callie's telling about a time she had a snake around her neck. Well, I want you guys to just to think about something. We don't just have to imagine a world where there's no fear, because that's actually how God made this world. He made it to be a place where there was nothing to be afraid of, nothing that could hurt us, nothing that we had to fear. But, you know, that got ruined because of sin, right? When Adam and Eve decided to disobey God, well, that's when fear came into the world. They were afraid of what God would say. They were afraid of what was coming, a curse that was coming. And fear came in. And that's what, kind of why the world, we have fear in this world today. But do you know what? God promises that there's coming a time where he's going to make things like they were in the garden. The Garden of Eden, a place where there was no fear. There's going to be a place where there's no more war, no more sickness, no more death. And it's a place called heaven. And you know what? We can be in that place one day, and it's because of Jesus. All our fears, all those things that we fear, Jesus conquered our fears because he died to pay for our sins. And when he died to pay for our sins, he broke that curse of sin that makes us have all these fears. We don't have to fear death anymore, right? Because he beat death, right? He came alive again. We don't have to fear sickness because he can heal. We don't have to fear the storms because he's the one who calms the storms, right? So we don't actually have anything to be afraid of. Bad guys or anything like that, we don't have to be afraid, because if we put our trust in Jesus, he is God and he is in control. If something bad happens to us, maybe it's because we disobeyed and he's trying to get us to come back to him. But that just shows he loves us. Or maybe sometimes he does allow something bad to happen, but he means it for something good. Remember the story of Joseph? Remember how his brothers treated him bad? But God meant it for good so that Joseph could become king and save people. So really, we don't have anything to fear, because for one thing, he beat death. So the minute we die here, we'll be with him forever and we'll live forever. And if something bad here does happen, we can think either he's disciplining me because he wants me to come back to him, or he's got something good in mind. He always does things out of love. And so our fears, they're met in him. You know, if we fear him, if we obey him, we have nothing else to be afraid of, right? And that's because of what Jesus did. And all our hopes are in him. You know, people were just hoping, isn't there somebody who can save us from all the bad in this world? Isn't there somebody who can help us and save us? And God said, I'm going to send somebody. And he was born that night, the Savior from sin, and his name is Jesus. And so in that manger, all our hopes are fulfilled in him. We had hopes that we could be saved, and he is the Savior. And all our fears, we were so afraid of all the things. Well, he conquered all our fears because he said, I'm going to bring you to a place just like it was in the beginning, where there's nothing you have to be afraid of. And our greatest fear is death, and he even beat death. And so in Jesus, all our hopes and fears are met in him. Do you know what? Christmas is a wonderful time because we celebrate this Savior. He is the one we hope for. He's the one who gives us hope, and he's the one who takes away all our fears. And you know what? I think that the best present you could ever receive, anybody in here, the best present you could ever receive is to receive Jesus as your Savior, so that you can have hope and you don't have to fear death anymore. And the best present you could ever give is your heart. Give your heart to him. Love him with all your heart and soul and mind. Trust and obey him.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you gave all, that you came down to be born a baby, to feel what we feel, to see what we see. But above it all, you led a perfect life so that you could be a sacrifice for us, so that someday, if we give our lives to you, our hearts to you, that we will be with you someday, where there is no death, where there is no hurt, there is no pain, and we can be in your presence of peace and joy. Help us to remember this today as we are traveling with family, and help give us joy in the times of happiness and the times of trouble, that we can hold on to your promise. In Jesus' name.